Hiya and welcome to Into It. We're the HuffPost UK entertainment team, and this week we're going to be looking ahead to Kendrick Lamar's world tour, looking at some of our favourite reality TV stars who are given the boot too soon, and delving into the mind of one of the nation's greats, Liam Gallagher. But first, it was The Last Dr. Foster this week. Millions of people tuned in to watch it. It got a lot of people talking for a number of reasons. We are just three of those people. Ash, you watched it.
Oh, I did watch it.
What did you reckon? Well, actually, let's start with the positive, shall we? On account of last week, the Strictly special, where we all went into it, three massive Strictly fans, and slated it for 25 minutes. Let's start with the positives with Dr. Foster. What did you enjoy?
So I actually don't have a lot of negative things to say about it. I know it got a bit
don't
of
have things to say full stop.
It got a bit of a split reaction online, but I really enjoyed it. It delivered an ending that I thought was good and was actually like, it's quite cyclical to the start, like to the start of the series.
I thought. What do you mean by that?
So the hints were there all along that Tom wasn't, you know, coping with this very well. And in the first episode, we saw him go missing in the garden for a while. We didn't know what had happened to him. Mm-hmm. And like, he ended up going missing. Like, so it kind of was quite foreboding.
It was. And I think it was especially the dad, wasn't it? Like, I think what was really interesting was the first series was all about her revenge.
Yeah.
And then the second series was all about his revenge. And I feel like he was much more brutal and he was much more, especially with Tom.
Oh, he's a nasty piece of work.
He's an NPOW, isn't he? He's a nasty piece of work. He is. And he had no regard for Tom's feelings when he was just using him to manipulate the mother and get a reaction out of her or whatever. Rachel's just shaking her head because she didn't watch Dr. Foster.
I didn't watch it, but I'm thinking of watching it because we talk about this a lot at the desk, but I discovered that it's based on a Greek myth and a play. All of a sudden,
Medea, isn't
it? Gave a shit about it. So I might actually watch it.
Well, do you know what? You know, I don't really watch dramas or like any TV really, but I do really, really enjoy Dr. Foster.
Oh, it's so well shot and brilliantly acted as well. I think that's part of the appeal for me.
And like, I was watching it at my desk last week and I was having a little giggle, wasn't I?
Yeah, I was very surprised because I thought it was all serious.
But no, there's actual moments of like comedy in there. Not like full on,
it's dark rolling comedy.
Well, it's things like that woman walking over to the table, the waitress, and when they're having that.
Do you know what? She
deserves
a BAFTA, that waitress.
Honestly, keep an eye on her because she'll be playing a
rising star next year.
Absolutely. Tipping her for big things. Was there anything that you weren't impressed by in the Dr. Foster series?
So, a few people pointed this out to me, and my housemate was particularly frustrated by this, was that she didn't believe that Gemma would have compromised herself by leaving those needles for Simon to kill himself with. So, for the sake of you.
Okay.
So, she left syringes and needles out in Simon's hotel room with instructions of how to kill himself.
Right.
Because he was going to run in front of a moving car and she said, no, not like this, and managed to persuade him come away and then left like stuff out for him.
Right.
But obviously she would have been massively implicated in his death. Like if he had have gone through with it, she would have been hugely implicated and she's smarter than that.
Would she not have just like tidied it up after he was dead or whatever?
Well, I don't know if she had a key to the hotel room.
No, she did because she went in and she asked for one. And that's how she got in when he was about to kill himself.
Maybe she'd have gone in after. But they would have found evidence to.
Well, she is a meticulous woman, so we don't know. My issues did revolve around that. I wasn't really happy with that being a plot point. It made me a bit uncomfortable in a way that, like, obviously it's a drama. And especially with Dr. Foster, it's all a bit twisted anyway, but this in particular I just thought was quite distasteful.
That sounds horrible.
And also we've had weeks of waiting to find out what, now I always get their names mixed up, but what Simon told Tom to turn him against his mother. We had weeks of waiting to find out what it was.
That was like the big sort of mystery for it.
It was the big question, and it turned out that what it was that she'd been quite negligent while she had postnatal depression. That's true. And she'd said some things about wishing she'd not had the baby or whatever. And I just thought it was a really weird thing, postnatal depression, to pull out of the bag and not really explore. Like, you know, just to suddenly...
Because they didn't have long enough to do it either, did they?
I just think, why do it at all? Why not just make up that he told a wild lie rather than...
Well, I thought it was going to be that she had some sort of killer past. So, like, when she said...
This is so dark.
So I had this theory that... Because you know when he was in the kitchen on the night before and he came in and started discussing her parents and she talked about how they died in a car crash when she was 16.
Yes.
And blah, blah, blah. And then, like, when they were sat around the table, she was like, oh, I worked out last night what you told Tom. And I was like, oh my God, it's going to be that she actually, like, killed her parents.
Yes.
That was what I was convinced was going to happen.
Because it didn't really have any link to anything else, did it?
Which I think would have been, like, an even, like, I think that would have been, like, oh my God, like, deep down, Gemma is, like, not a good person.
I know there's been talk of a series three, but is that definitely happening? Or, because I do wonder with things like this, have they kind of purposefully laid the groundwork for something that's going to be explored later?
Well, at the end of series two, I mean, I don't really want to spoil it for you if you haven't
seen
it.
Oh, I know all of it. I've read it.
Get into it.
Yeah.
So the kid goes missing at the end.
Yeah.
And at the very end, well, actually, let's talk about this quickly. At the very end, she gave this fabulous monologue. It was very, very moving. But then, the last line, she delivered it to the camera. So it was like it was like a pre-recorded message over, like, her living her life. And then suddenly it zoomed in, and she started talking to us. And I was like...
Break the fourth wall.
Yeah. I was like, Gemma, don't look at me. I'm just busy going on with my life. Don't be addressing me.
Oh, I love a fourth wall break.
Oh, I'm not a fan. It came from nowhere.
It felt very odd. But it, do you know what? That felt final.
Do you think? Because I thought it was like... And I'll see you soon for series three.
See, I always think when they break the fourth wall, particularly at the end of a series, I think it's quite like, well, we can do this now because we haven't got to come back and pretend that we didn't do
this
last
time. Isn't it
like
this is really geeky, but it's like that theatre technique is this guy called Brecht, who basically always said that it was making the audience aware of what they're watching and like forcing the audience to remember that they're watching something. I don't know.
Well, they're bringing someone out of hypnosis.
Yeah, because I didn't know this either, but the guy who wrote Dr. Foster was actually a playwright.
Yeah.
So like something like that is like a Brechtian like move to do.
Oh, maybe it is very
final. Suddenly
final,
remind the audience like.
So like they definitely have set the story up for a series three, because the series three could be like the hunt to find the missing child. And when he comes back, or if he comes back, what sort of state is he? What have their actions actually done to that child? But I don't know whether I want it.
Well, I said that I didn't want a series two, and I ended up really enjoying it. And what's good about Dr. Foster, in answer to your question, Rachel, is that it's not just like halfway through series one, series two is commissioned. That's not how it worked. It was ages before they confirmed series two, because Mike Bartlett, the guy who wrote it, he was like, I'm just gonna, like he said this week, the BBC hasn't put me under any pressure. I'm just going to see what happens. If a third series happens, then it'll happen. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't. So I think that's good. The fact that they're only going to do one if it's actually going to be any good, rather than just giving people.
Well, they've left it in a good place if they don't go back to it. But equally, they've got the option to if they decide to.
And also, I do like, and I know this is a bit controversial, but that's just me, controversy magnet. I do like an open ending.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I like it because you can have whatever you want.
Do you know what?
It's up to us.
I remember the one film I really, really hated that did that to me was the breakup with Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn. That just pissed me off endlessly.
What a brilliant film.
I love that film. You know, we were talking, this is breaking the fourth wall. We were talking earlier about having our teeth out. And when I had my teeth out, I watched The Breakup starring Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston, and it made me feel so much better.
Top tip, anyone?
It really took my mind off the tooth pain, the pain of watching that film.
I haven't thought about that film in about 10 years, but that just popped in my head.
Wow. Are there any other open endings that we're not fans of?
I can't think of any, but I must have a few.
See, I mean, the end of The Sex and the City was very like, they all moved back to New York and they just got on with whatever they wanted. And I quite like that because it was much less. Whereas the Will and Grace final, where it's like everything's wrapped up, or the Desperate Housewives finale, where everything was wrapped up, I would much rather have just had it. And maybe they saw each other, maybe they didn't.
I loved it.
It's up to you, as opposed to, and they never saw each other again. But that's the thing. You remember The Last Desperate Housewives?
You do talk about it quite often.
Oh, do I?
I've never seen The Last Desperate Housewives, but no, I've lived it through it through you.
Well, let me tell you, don't ever watch it because it's so good. And then the ending pulls the rug from under you. Unlike Dr. Foster, where in my mind, Tom came back safe and sound. And that's my right to choose. Moving on to our second topic of the week. Kendrick Lamar is going on tour, everybody. It's been a massive year for him. His album, Damn, has gone 2-time platinum. He's collaborated with Rihanna, and bizarrely, he also collaborated with U2, but the less said about that, the better. And he won the coveted Video of the Year at the VMAs. The Grammys is literally his to lose at this point, or probably his to deserve and then be given to Ed Sheeran for shitty reasons. Anyway, tickets for his tour went on sale this week and sold out in about like 10 seconds. Rachel, you managed to get some.
I did. I had a pre-sale link that I did offer to send to you, but you told me you didn't want it.
No, I did.
Oh, it was too late.
It was too late. Okay. And then today it was also too late. So I'm not seeing Kendrick Lamar. And you know what? I'm pretty pissed off about it. And
did Rachel not get 2 tickets?
Rachel's got other friends.
I got one for my friend Rukmar. When tickets, which we're going to get onto, when tickets are £85, you cannot be just buying extras.
Well, speaking of Kendrick Lamar and tickets and being pissed off on £85, they're incredibly expensive tickets, which brings us on to today's topic. Is that unreasonable? What do we think? Let's be real. It was £70 to stand at the O2 in London plus £10 booking fees. Mm. What do we reckon? That's a lot of money. Are concert tickets in general getting too expensive?
I feel like when I first started going to gigs and concerts and stuff...
In 1901, when I went to the Gilbert and Sullivan...
No, I went to see Girls Aloud at the O2. That was my first like O2 gig.
Was that your first gig?
O2, yeah. Not first gig. My first gig was Razor Light.
At the O2, when was that? Was the O2 even built?
Yeah, but this was only like...
It wasn't actually 1901.
How long ago was it?
It was only like 2010.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
That was not my first gig, but that was the first time at the O2. Like a sort of a big stadium like gig, because prior to that, I just went to like concert halls and whatnot. But I remember that was like £35 I paid for those tickets at the time. And I was like, oh, it's actually not that, like, that's not that bad. I mean, I was right at the back in the gods, but I didn't think £35 was too bad. Now it's like bloody £85 to go and see someone at the O2. It's mental.
The thing is, which... I don't know if me and Daniel have ever mentioned this, but we paid £80 to see Beyonce do the Formation tour.
At Wembley Stadium. In July 2016.
Quite frankly, how many songs did she do? It was like
every song she's ever done.
It's 46 songs, isn't it, or something?
It's something ridiculous. It's a lot of songs.
You saw your £85 on the stage. Like, it was absolutely 100% worth it.
It's not necessarily that I mind about getting every song, like, because, you know, like, artists tour an album, so you might not get all the old hits. And, you know, you sign up for that, like, when you go. What I begrudge is when you can't see it, like, on the production of it. So like when you go and see someone like Lady Gaga, if you've paid £85 to see her, despite what you might think of her performance, you can see where the money has been spent. It's been spent on the staging and the videos and the costume.
There, because I went to the Art Pop tour and I paid money and I did not see expensive.
I saw maybe it was like
£40 for a ticket. The set looked like it cost 40 English pounds. Beyonce had my money, but I didn't see the cumulative. Can't even
Beyonce
speak.
Has that giant box, doesn't she? It's like this app. It's like the height of Wembley. This like digital box thing.
It was
that
huge,
like,
and it spun round.
And people come out of there and all of the like album graphics are on it. It's like the production on that. And then
it was outrageous.
The
it
bit
was
like, from
outrageous.
The BET Awards where part of the stage goes down and is filled with water that she then dances in. Like, it's absolutely insane.
You know where that money's gone.
Yeah.
Like,
but like the thing is, like, I feel lucky that I am in a position to pay £85 for Kendrick Lamar. Like, that is a really good position to be in.
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying,
yeah,
isn't it?
But like, this is the thing is, like, when I was a kid, my mum used to take me to gigs and stuff, and it was more like pop acts and things. But we saw, like, you know, the Spice Girls at like the absolute height of their fame. There's no way my mum paid £80 to take me. And it's that sort of thing I think about. Like, I wouldn't still like music now if it wasn't for all those gigs I went to when I was a kid.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's like the kids now, if you're a kid who like absolutely loves Kendrick Lamar or Beyonce, you're not going to see them.
No, you physically can't. You just can't.
Like, yeah, I can just about afford it. So it's kind of in that sense, I just think it's a real shame for people. Like,
and especially for someone like Kendrick Lamar, like, he raps all the time about like his background and where he's come from and stuff. Mm. And so the people that that's really going to resonate with, they're not going to be able to come. It's like, going to be all like rich people in the audience. Is that what he wants?
Who was it that a few years ago tried to make a bit of a stand against like ticket prices? I think it was either like Gaga or Madonna.
Prince. I can't imagine it was Madonna.
Prince did all the free things, didn't he?
Oh yeah, Prince did all those free concerts. Mm. I think some of the time though, it doesn't always come from the artists. It's like the tour company or the like, It's the people around them that set that agenda. And then they actually, like, well, this probably shows how out of touch some of them are. I don't think they actually know what their ticket prices are to their concerts.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, they're all millionaires. So to them, like, £85 is a drop in the actual ocean.
It's like, I think the bar has been lifted so much. Because I remember when I saw Taylor Swift do the Red Tour and I paid about £50 for that. And at the time, that was like, I was like, 50 quid, this is a lot of money. Then Kate Bush, I paid £95.
You paid £95
for Kate Bush? Yeah, but when on earth am I ever going to see Kate Bush again?
That's half a bloody Glastonbury ticket.
Yeah, but that's like once in a lifetime. Like, I'm never going to see Kate Bush. She doesn't even like leave the house.
It's an experience, isn't it, seeing Kate like, Bush? You're paying for the experience.
That was worth it. But then, I remember, so then paying that, I was like, oh God, £95 is a lot of money. And then since then, it's like,
see,
Beyonce,
I don't begrudge it when you're seeing your hero. So like, I recently paid, I think it was about 90 quid to see Robbie Williams. And I have loved Robbie Williams since I was like 8 years old.
See, that's
like,
mad though.
So like, for me to pay that money to see him, I'm like, okay, like, take my money, I'll come. But like, if I was going to like, what puts me off going to like gigs that I'm like, not asked about people, but like, I'm not as a huge a fan.
Yeah,
is the
you
ticket
love
price.
Them.
Like, I wouldn't pay £85 to go and see like Katy Perry. I quite like Katy Perry. She's like, all right. I like some of her songs, but there's no way I'd pay 85 quid to see her. I might pay 40 quid to go and see her.
Yeah, same.
I tell you what, I wouldn't have until the tour pictures came out, and that tour looks expensive. And so actually, yeah, I would pay that. Now, having seen it, like the pictures and the videos online and stuff, I would pay that to see Katy Perry just because it would be such a lovely visual experience. But would I pay to go and watch her do an acoustic set and do Thinking of You, part of me strip back and then piss off the rest of the night? No, I would not. Was Robbie Williams worth the £90? Is what I want to know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, that's what you want, isn't it? You want to, like whenever
I did all the old hits, like, all the big ones. It was proper sing-along. It was full of middle-aged women, so I felt right at home.
Has there ever been one that you've paid a lot for and regretted it?
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't...
Admittedly, like, I love her, but Gaga's second, the Monster Ball tour, I thought it was really disappointing. I don't like stadium gigs generally, but it was a stadium gig. The stadium wasn't full. I thought the set was disappointing.
Was this Monster Ball?
Yeah. Sorry.
Born This Way.
Born This Way Ball, yeah.
I was going to say, because I went...
I loved the Monster Ball tour.
I was going to say, because I went to the Monster Ball tour and I really didn't enjoy it. And I've never met anybody else. I just didn't... I haven't got any specifics. I just didn't think it was that good.
Oh, I loved it.
That's honestly all I
could
say.
I loved all the different acts and all the different visuals.
I mean, obviously a lot of effort had gone into it, so like, you couldn't fault it from that point.
Well, she redid that tour like halfway through its run. Like, she just scrapped like what she'd done and just redid it all like halfway through the tour.
If only she took that initiative in the latter half of her career. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
I want to talk about Chizzy Akadulu, because she was the first of this year's contestants on Strictly Come Dancing to get the boot. And you were both there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were going to launch ourselves on the dance floor in protest.
It was horrible.
It's funny you mentioned protests, because I noticed that I wasn't invited to come with you.
Sorry. It was Ash's idea.
Ash's idea to not invite me.
Yes.
I'm glad that we're being recorded for this conversation. Did you just have a nice time?
We had a lovely time.
How many times did you say if only Daniel was here?
Many.
Approximately none.
Piss off. Anyway, it was very emotional when Chizzy left. I was watching it at home, obviously.
Do you know what?
It
was actually
the studio.
They actually edited it. It was. She cried for a lot longer than what you saw on the telly.
She couldn't, because I haven't watched the television. I don't know what they showed. But she like could barely breathe. Like, didn't Claudia have to run on and give her a tissue at one point?
Yeah. That did make it to the screen, but the way you were describing it earlier this week sounded a lot more...
You know when they get told, like, it's sort of revealed who's going home?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're stood in the sort of the middle of the dance floor. She took a good minute and a half before she went over to Tess Daly.
She just
But on the telly, it was like, she cried, she was a bit upset, and then she was next to Tess Daly.
Oh my God. Do we think she was the right person to go?
No. Not in a million years. Which also made it so much worse. Because we were all certain, we were speaking to people, like, we sat in a little row, there were like two other journalists next to us. And as the dance-off and stuff happened and they went, you know, it got to the judges, we all turned to each other and were like, Brian's obviously going, isn't he? Like, yeah. So not only was it like emotionally horrible, like, no.
It wasn't fair, was
gone.
What it was.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't fair.
But do you think she should have been in the bottom two at all?
No.
Based on that week's performance, like she was, I think, second from bottom, third from bottom.
She was second
from bottom. But on the overall leaderboard, because obviously the first 2 weeks of the competition were combined, she wasn't near the bottom. She wasn't near the bottom. She was like quite sort of mid-table-y. So I don't think she deserved to be there, considering that those votes of both weeks counted towards the dance-off result.
We all know who did deserve to be there. Charlotte Hawkins. Oh.
I think you mean Charlotte Plank of Wood Hawkins.
Oh, wow.
Was that as bad in person? Was that...
Oh, it was worse.
Oh, it was bad.
The thing is, when I was watching it, I didn't actually think it was that bad. And then I heard the judges' comments and I was like, oh.
Do you know what,
And then
though?
When I watched it back, I was like, oh, actually, yeah, this was really crap.
Do you know what, though? Like, watching Strictly in real life compared to on the telly, the movement of the cameras makes the dances so much more dynamic.
Yeah.
So, like, when you have got a shit routine, like, the fact that the cameras, like, spin around and they go around the floor with them and they can change the angles and stuff makes it seem like... it's more exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you're literally watching just two people sort of like plod around a floor, it's like, it really shows when something is shit.
Because they have like, I noticed the cameraman like run, they've like, he like runs on. And if the couple are spinning like clockwise, he'll run around them anti-clockwise. So what you see, the way that you see that it looks like they're spinning, you're actually like, the cameraman's spinning the other way. Yeah. So it's like double as much.
God, I'm getting all the secrets.
It's mad. I felt dizzy just watching the cameraman.
Yeah,
to be
it was
honest.
Like, and he's all like, it's all strapped to his middle and he's like, got it in his like.
And he like runs on and then runs off. It's mad.
Wow.
Give him a 10.
Inspired by, oh my God. Inspired by Chizzy, who are some of the people that we think were given the reality TV acts before their time?
I have two that really always stick out in my head. And I actually wrote a whole feature on X Factor contestants that left too early. But two of my favourites that went way too early for me was Aidan Grimshaw in Series 7.
You know what? Agreed.
He went far too early. I thought he was a massive talent.
And
Ella Henderson. I was there for his first audition. So that's why I think he's like good.
He was the first person I ever interviewed.
Was he?
Oh. Does he still hold a special place in your heart?
Always.
Amazing. Ella Henderson as well.
And Ella Henderson, everyone had her pegged as like the finalist to win, like, you know, she was going to be the winner, and then she was in that bottom two with James Arthur. Just think how differently this world could have turned out.
Do you know what though? She did do that boring version of Shay. Oh, I thought that was a lovely version
of
Shay.
And make it boring.
I'll tell you, Rachel, she did a piano stripped back version of Believe by Shay. And everyone was like...
Nicole Scherzinger was in tears.
Oh, come on.
Oh, well, if she was in tears.
That last... She wasn't even crying about that. She probably just overheard something.
She probably heard that she'd lost her Onken contract or something. Is it Onken she does? Or
I don't know what
Mullerfruit
she does.
Corner. No, it's Mullerfruit Corner.
That's the first time I've heard an Onken yoghurt mentioned in about 20 years.
I think it's
years.
Mandy Holden that does Onken.
I mean, I can't help you here. This is not my specialist area.
Or is it Mark Wright? I get ever so confused.
Rachel, who are some of your reality stars who got the boot too soon? I can't talk about yoghurt anymore.
I don't really know. Like, I'm not, like, see, you guys watch, like, a lot of reality TV. Or you, also, you have very good memories, and I can't, like, remember stuff that happened last week. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, really.
I see, mine would be, and it's quite a recent one, actually, Gemma Collins on Celebrity Big Brother. Like, she was, like, she left a few days before the final, and I just think, do you know what? She should have gone the whole way.
Do you know what, though? People just view her time as Celebrity Big Brother so retrospectively now. Like, yeah. At the time, it was fucking brilliant, but people have only just caught on to how brilliant it was.
Well, it's because there's only about 100 people still watching Celebrity Big Brother at this point, and I'm proud to still be one of them. You know who always sticks in my head as well? X Factor, Series 3, Maria Lawson.
Oh, she was great.
Do you remember? She went, and then she released a single, and it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was a shame, Orgy. Wasn't it? She, because I thought she was going to win that year.
Oh yeah, no, it wasn't three. It was two. You're right. It was Series 2. Shame. You know what though?
How do you remember this?
Because I don't keep up with current events or anything that's actually impactful. But I do know what year Maria Lawson left the X Factor.
Well, no, you don't. Well, I...
You know what though? I'm happy to still have Shane Ward around.
Do you know who, I want to give a shout out to though on this? Alison Hammond, because hasn't she done well for herself for someone that was third out of Big Brother?
Third out
14 years ago. Here she is with Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford being an internet sensation. Who'd have predicted it?
What a woman.
You know what? I'd have predicted it because I saw the star quality in her from the beginning.
From the minute she broke that table.
She went too soon, didn't she? She brought the table and then she was out.
Well, that's why I did bring her up, because she went too soon. I didn't just give her a shout.
I'm not sure I care for your tone. Moving on, and speaking of people who don't care for each other's tones, Liam Gallagher's feuding again, everyone. Not with Noel for like the first time this year, but with, of all people, David Hasselhoff. They've been exchanging beef on Twitter. It's all very confusing and somehow related to cruises. I'll leave you all to look that one up yourselves.
Cruises?
Like
Jane as in a Jane McDonald type event.
Well, I mean, they did exist before Jane McDonald. But yes.
No, I don't think they did.
Don't lie.
Oh, do you remember the year 2015 when Jane McDonald invented cruises? What did we do before then, eh? Anyway.
People on boats with no idea what was happening.
Going to the Caribbean in a tugboat. If only there was a better way. So inspired by their swapping beef, this week's quiz is Liam Gallagher themed. So I'm going to give you some Liam Gallagher quotes, and all you have to do to win a point is tell me who or what he's slagging off. So Rachel, as reigning quiz champion,
yay,
you're going to get to go first.
Okay.
So also, there is some explicit language in these quotes, so...
As there has been throughout this entire podcast.
I know, but I feel like I should... This is a step beyond, so I'm just going to warn everybody in case they're, like, having a nice time and suddenly Liam Gallagher's foul mouth ruins it. Like, it ruined that lovely picnic. Right. Up first. Rachel, who is he slagging off? I'm sure they're all nice lads, but that's not for me. They look like fucking Amish people.
Oh, I think... Is it Mumford and Sons?
It's Mumford and Sons. Liam Gallagher thinks they look like, and I quote, fucking Amish people and thus aren't for him. Ash, he's a fucking drama queen. I'll start the quote now. That's a joke. here's the quote. He's a fucking drama queen. You make a crap album, then want everyone to feel sorry for you. Tosser.
Take a stab in the dark.
I'll give you, do you want a clue?
Yeah,
I'll give you a clue. His name has been said in the last
Is it Ed Sheeran?
No, it's Robbie Williams.
Oh.
The crap album, by the way, Rude Box, which actually isn't a crap album at all, but for some reason...
Rude Box is one of my favourite songs. Rude Box, Shake Your Rude Box. Why are you so nasty?
Wow. Rachel, you see pictures of him running around LA with his little white legs and a bottle of Volvic, and he looks like a fanny.
Wow.
Is it you?
No, I don't drink bottled water. You know that.
Someone who runs around LA with a bottle of water. Who could it be? Can I hear it again and then I'm going to guess?
Yes. Gladly. You see pictures of him running around LA with his little white legs and a bottle of Volvic, and he looks like a fanny.
I don't know. I can't think of anyone who goes running.
I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
He's a musician, and people think that he's a bit of a fanny.
Is it Alex Turner?
A good guess. It's Bono.
Oh.
Ashley.
Bono the fanny.
Ashley, it's full of fucking idiots. It's like Bond Street with mud.
IKEA.
Oh, glad. That famous muddy place. I hate it when I'm trying to pick up a cushion and there's just mud everywhere.
No, I take that back. I take it back.
Oh, my flat pack furniture's got ever so muddy.
Grass stains on my sofa.
I'm going to say Glastonbury.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you that. It's Glastonbury. Rachel. He looks like a fucking balloon with a fucking Weetabix crushed on top.
Again, is it you?
Is it Ashley Percival? a balloon with Weetabix crushed on top. Boris Johnson.
It's actually Wayne Rooney post hair transplant. He then said he looks better as a skinhead, doesn't he? No comment on that. So no point, I'm afraid. Ash, I'm coming back to you with this Liam Gallagher quote. I'm sure she's a nice girl, but she sounds like somebody stood on her fucking foot.
Rachel McGrath.
No, because he said, I'm sure she's a nice girl.
Adele.
No, it's Florence Welsh.
Oh, do you know what? I agree with him. All that wailing.
All that wailing. Mm. Oh, Rachel, you're not a fan of that.
No, no.
That was my Florence Welch impression, by the way.
Thanks for clarifying.
You're going to get this one, and I hadn't intended it to go to you, but here we go. My kids also like that bloke, WhatsApp Ricky.
Aww, ASAP Rocky.
That's ASAP Rocky. That was Liam Gallagher trying to remember.
Did you write a story on that?
No, but I don't know. Maybe I did, but someone at Glastonbury during Liam Gallagher had a WhatsApp Ricky flag.
Incredible. Ash.
I'm enjoying this quiz, by the way.
Thank you very much. This is the stupidest one.
That is a bold claim.
I ain't going in that. Fuck that, mate. That ain't meant for us. That's meant for the sharks and the jellyfish, tadpoles and stuff. What is he describing?
Is it IKEA? I don't know. That ain't meant for us, but he ain't going in it.
He's not going in it. It's where sharks, jellyfish, and tadpoles live.
The sea?
It's the sea! Liam Gallagher hates the sea.
Do you know what? I'm with him.
You know what I found out the other day?
Oh my God, what? You don't go in the sea?
I don't like the sea.
The sea is so much fun.
It's really salty.
Yeah, but you don't have to drink it.
I know, but when it gets on your face.
I like getting a pedalo and then you get the one with the slide on.
I also
on.
Don't like things like swimming around me.
Rachel, a pedalo with a slide
on
it.
Yeah, so that you can slide into the sea.
No, I know how it works. I didn't need it explained to us.
I was just checking.
You know what that is?
Common.
It's common.
I don't care. I'm just cossing a pedalo in a self-catering apartment any day.
I found out the other night, my friends were around and we're talking about the sea, obviously. And you know, we only know only like 10% of what there is to know about the ocean. I didn't realise, and now I'm pretty scared of the ocean.
Mariana's Trench, they haven't even like properly been to the bottom of it.
That's outrageous. You know what I love though, Little Mermaid. All right, well, you've got 2 points each. So I'm going to give you the tiebreak question. And first one to shout it out wins. I really like this, actually, this quote, because I think it's pretty funny. She could be the next Liam Gallagher. She's got a great voice and she fucking has it. She knows how to get fucking hammered and she freaks people out.
Adele? Lily Allen?
Just keep guessing.
Kate Bush?
Kate Bush could be the next Liam Gallagher.
I'm going to write a blog with that title this afternoon. Lady Gaga.
Katy Perry. Rihanna.
She's got a great voice. She knows how to get fucking hammered and she freaks people out.
Sarah Harding.
She's got a great voice. You can ask me questions.
Charlie XCX.
No.
That's a female, right?
Yes.
Have you got another clue? Because this could go on for a very long time.
I'm going to give you both a clue. It's someone that Rachel saw at Glastonbury.
Solange.
I didn't see her. I missed her.
You've seen her twice this year because one time I was there, but we weren't together.
Charlotte Church.
It's Charlotte Church! Honestly, that first album, Tissues and Issues, the only issue is that she never did a follow-up.
She's stopped doing the Pop Dungeon now, which makes me really sad.
Has she? Yeah. Why?
Janosha just said it's time for it to end. Best of all was the last ever one.
Oh, you know what? They'll go out on a high.
She did Nine Inch Nails. It was so good.
I wouldn't even know that if I heard it, to be honest. Right, well, I'm up to update my Charlotte Church fan page, so we'll be back next week. Laters!